We'll start the reading once again there in verse number 1. Read down through verse number 4. Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Let's just finish down through verse 6. It says, "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." And so I appreciate that the Lord saw fit to put in the Bible the importance of understanding the difference in the Holy Spirit and just all the other spirits that are out there, and the false teachings that we have to deal with today. And that's nothing new, but you know, in verse number 1, we saw the importance of trying the spirits, and then we dealt with last week, and maybe a little bit the week before last, the importance of recognizing the true Spirit, the Holy Spirit. But as we come into verse 3 here, we see the trickery of Satan, or the trap that Satan tries to set for mankind is to sort of steer him away through the spirit of Antichrist, the teaching of Antichrist. And we're not talking about the person specifically, the Antichrist that is to come, but we're talking about a spirit that's been in the world since long ago. That is anti, that means against Christ. It is in opposition to Christ. And that's what the Bible's teaching in verse 3. So let's look at that again. It says, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." And so, once again, I mean, we're dealing with the work of Satan when we're talking about that spirit of Antichrist. He is the one that is against Christ.
Right.
And if he can get you and I to be against Christ, that's what he'll do, Brother Kim. The sad part is there are believers that at times can deal with some of this spirit that
that's
it's talking
right.
about. And that means that sometimes we can teach things, Brother Jesse, that are against the Christ of this Bible.
Yep.
And you say, "Well, not me." Well, I venture to say most everybody in here that said anything much about Christ has at some point in their time said something that's contrary to what this book teaches.
Sure.
And anything that's against this book, you rest assured, that is Antichrist. Because
right.
he is this book. He is the Word. And so here's the thing that we got to recognize is that if a spirit, that is a person, the spirit that they're teaching in, however you want to say that, if they teach any small thing about Christ that is contrary to this book, that is the spirit that it's talking about. It's not of God.
Right.
And that's you or I, either one.
Yep.
If I were to stand up here, Nathaniel, and say anything that is contrary to the Lord, I've got the wrong spirit.
Right.
And so we have to be very careful, and that's something that we have to guard against, and that we pray for when we stand, and we ask the Lord to help us to do it, not only, Jesse, that we look right when we do it or whatever, but, man, everything we say, we want it to be right.
Yes.
And it is of utmost importance, but we've got to be careful what is said and what Brother Kevin allows to be said in this pulpit, that it's not against the teachings of this book. And this is nothing new, as he's already said. It's already in the world, this spirit. This is not something that is just to come, but something that we deal with on a regular basis right now. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Read just a couple verses here. Verse 12 through 15, it says, this is Paul writing, he says, "But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion,
That means cut off the ability. It means stop them, Jared. Cut off the occasion from them which desire occasion. You understand there's people out there looking for an occasion?
That's right.
To come in here and hinder us?
Guarantee it.
That's what Paul's telling this church at Corinth. He's saying they're looking for an occasion. That means just a convenient time.
Yep.
Now all we have to do is let our guard down for a minute, John, and somebody will take occasion. You can guarantee that. The devil's out to steal, kill, and destroy. He says that desire occasion that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we are. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Mm-hmm. Folks, that's a scary scripture.
Right.
And we've got to be so careful today, because Satan can transform himself into something that looks real good. And he says, don't marvel. He said, his ministers, those false apostles, those deceitful workers, guess what they can do? They can do the exact same. They might be sitting in our church pews today.
Yep.
So I'm not trying to turn you against one another by any means, but we have to be understand. That's why Peter told them, he said, be sober, be vigilant. We have to be, because it could be amongst us today. I don't want to scare everybody to death this morning, but understand, not everybody that names the name of Christ is of God. And that's just the reality. And not everybody that names the name of Christ knows enough about Christ to be saying some things.
Right.
And that's why our pastor sometimes has to pull somebody aside, talk to them, and help them. And we can be thankful for that. He's guarding us. There were people that would come here and say things and not even mean to say anything wrong. But they can cause confusion.
Yep. Right.
They can cause harm to the cause of Christ.
Right.
And so what we do, Ties, we just have to guard against it. And that's what we have to do. And don't ever think, I hope nobody in here ever would think that our pastor would do something to harm anybody purposefully. But in the situation where he has to correct something, just understand he's doing that for the good of the church.
Sure.
So I really appreciate that. And, I mean, that makes me happy. Might not make you happy, it makes me very happy. Just in case you didn't know, I'm happy that we have a pastor that'll do that. But, you know, it's just a scary thing to think that well-intentioned people can fall into this category and that you and I can too, if we don't stay with what the Scripture says. So, I don't know if you realize this, but as it pertains to the things of God, to the things of Jesus Christ that we're talking about here, there's no room for your opinion.
Right. That's right.
None.
Thank God.
There's none. There's no room for me to give my opinion. There are places that we've all got opinions.
Sure.
Things that we don't know for sure. But as far as the person of Jesus Christ, there's no room for it. There's no room. You don't go out and make stuff up about Him.
Right.
Don't say stuff about Him that you don't know for a fact is what the Scripture teaches. And we just have to guard against all these different things. But the thing is about this spirit that's against God, every spirit, it says, that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And the devil doesn't work, you know, I'll use the example of marriages. The devil doesn't just break a marriage in one instance.
Sure.
It's not how he works. How does he do it? He does it just a little bit at a time.
Yep.
A little bit of time. A little problem here, a little problem there. God, the devil, he affects things in such a tiny way at a time that it's hard for us to understand that he's even doing it. And it's hard for us to even see it. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? You know, the Song of Solomon says it this way, Song of Solomon 2:15, he says, take us the foxes. He says the little foxes.
Yep.
Little foxes that spoil the vines.
Right.
It says, but it goes on to say this. It says, for our vines have tender grapes.
Yeah.
And see, what he's teaching there is that we don't want anything to get in the way of our relationship. And so we understand that there are things out there that would spoil that thing. The vines. And those vines have tender grapes. And if you look that up and try to understand that, and I've not studied it out a lot, Jesse, but that's talking about a vine that's just in blossom.
Right.
I mean, it's just coming good, starting to have a smell to it. Uh-huh. It's tender, it's fresh, but it's fragile.
Right.
And so the devil would like to come in and find those fragile spots that he can just inch his way in. Say the right thing here and the right thing there. You understand, when I say right, I'm not talking about right as it pertains to God. The thing for him to steer us away from the things of God. And so it's the little foxes. The little fox, something that's, you know, I mean, we've had some foxes at our house. Dad's had some at his house. Man, them things are, they're sly. They're sneaky. You can't hardly see them. They just sneak in. They like to operate under the cover of darkness.
Right.
I don't know if you realize that.
Right.
But that's when you'll see. You won't see them out hardly during the daytime unless they're just desperate. But we went out one night and we heard the wildest thing outside. Man, I shined a light out there in the backyard and there's two foxes in my backyard. Guess what I've got back there? I've got chickens. You know what they was going to do if they had a chance? They're going to get them things.
Sure.
And so you know what I got to do? Pull out a gun, start shooting. Get you out of here. You're not going to do that. And we've got to be the same way. We've got to guard against the things that would come into this place and hurt the doctrines of Christ. So we just got to be careful. But this is the spirit of Antichrist, and this is nothing new. Go back to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, give you a little example of how this works. The Bible says in Acts 15, verse 1, it says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." You catch that?
Oh, yeah, brother.
He says, not that you may not, you cannot. Apart from this, you can't be saved. That's what he says. "When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question." In other words, they recognized the error of what was being taught, Brother Chris. And they said, we've got to do something about this.
Right.
And said, we're going to get together. We're going to get everybody together. And the old phrase is nip it in the bud. That's what they were going to do. They said, we've got to fix this. And so if you look on down, verse 5 and 6, it says, "But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses." Uh-oh. So now they've got to be circumcised and they've got to keep the law of Moses,
right,
in order to be saved. You see how this works. It gets worse and worse. "And the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter." Now you understand that there was no New Testament written for these people to study at this time. They don't have it like we've got it, Brother Cliff. You and I can look at the Scripture and we know what's right. All they had was the Old Testament and the prophets. And so they were in a transitional phase through the book of Acts. We hopefully understand that. And so they're trying to figure out all these doctrines and these teachings and make sure they're aligning with the grace of God and what Christ is teaching. And so verse number 11, you go down there, but they say, "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved,"
yep,
"even as they."
Yes, sir.
So you see this progression. They're getting this right. They understood that there was a problem with the teaching and it got worse. And they said, we got to stop this. But this is the belief that we have. This is the teaching.
Good.
There has to be a stop to it. And then you go on down to verse number 19. The Bible says, "Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them." This is the Jews talking about the Gentiles. which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them. After this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us, you notice where they came from. It says they went out from us.
Right.
This was on the inside causing the problems.
Right.
On the inside. That certain went out from us and have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you, with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost, and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from the things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare you well. You understand there had to be some correction done. Said, you can't do that. But you imagine the harm that could have been caused if they didn't stop. If they didn't stop this false doctrine that was being taught, you'd have had a whole church that would have been confused, just like the Galatians got confused.
Right?
Yeah. Over there in the book of Galatians, if you look at chapter 1, Galatians chapter 1, the Bible says down there in verse number 6, he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there is some that trouble you, or be some that trouble you, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
Right.
The importance that Paul is trying to teach is get away from the things that people would teach you contrary to the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, and just stay with the simplicity of the gospel.
Yeah.
And when we start trying to add anything, if somebody tries to add, take away from, say, I mean, if they were to say that Jesus Christ is not who he says he is, folks, you just cut that off. Say, that's not what the Scripture teaches. I'm not listening to you. And we have to do that. And I'm thankful for a church where we don't have those problems. But you just understand, you stay in this thing long enough, we stay with the truth, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be folks that come in, and they're going to try to subvert souls.
Right.
They will try to pervert the gospel.
That's
just the way this works. And we just got to be very careful.
Yeah.
Just got to be very careful today. So any teaching contrary to what we've already learned from the Scripture, we need to just ignore it and say that it's wrong. So it's, you know, I could never say enough, and I hope everybody here does this, but I could never say enough the importance of you individually staying in the Scriptures. Because, I mean, as much as I love Brother Kevin, and I don't think it's ever going to happen, but if he were to get up here,
right.
Paul said, though, I. He said, even if I preach any other gospel, we got to say no to it.
Right.
That's whether it's me, that's whether it's Matt, Wayne, Kevin. It's not about the deliverer of the message.
Right.
It's about the message. And the message has to be the right message, and it has to be Jesus Christ, that he is who he said he was, and he'll do what he said he'll do. And he's already done what he said he's done.
Right.
So that has to be what we guard against. So be careful today. Be so careful what church you allow your kids to go to, the Bible schools you let them go to, where you let them hang out, who you let them be around, all those things, what Bible studies they go to. You say, man, you're harsh. I'm protective.
Amen.
Just protective. I'm protective of my kids. But I mean, I want you to protect your kids. And it's not just our kids. It's our adults too. Sometimes you need to stay away from some things. Sometimes you can't handle some of the teachings that are out there. I think it was our pastor that mentioned some of the teachings that are out there on YouTube and all those things the other day, maybe back in the men's prayer room, and how that we ought not to even pay attention to a lot of that. Because if you're not careful, you will not, if you don't know this book, you will not recognize false from true.
Sure.
You better watch it. You better stick to people you know that you can trust. And still yet, make sure that what they're teaching lines up with this book.
That's right.
Because I would venture to say that even me standing, well, I know I have. Even I have stood up here at times. And even by accident, Kim said something. Whether by accident from my mind or by being in the wrong spirit at the time, Kevin. And said something that if carried the wrong direction, could cause harm. And that's never my purpose, and I don't think that's any of these people that would ever stand up here, any of these preachers, teachers, any of them, ever their purpose. But understand, there are times, Jesse, that we get in the wrong spirit. We get in the flesh. Sometimes our minds don't work right, and we get some things wrong.
Yeah, brother.
And that's just the truth of it. We're still just dust. That's just the way it is. I'm not anything. But that don't give me a right to do damage to this book. And nobody else has the right to either. And so we've got to just be careful, folks. I know we're blessed here, and we may say, well, none of that stuff will ever happen here. No, but I'm telling you, it can happen. It can happen in a moment.
Right.
I mean, just the wrong person at the wrong time can come in and destroy the things that we work for to protect. We just got to be so careful. And so not everything that claims to be of God is of God. And anything that teaches contrary to who Christ really is the spirit of Antichrist. And he says, whereof ye have heard that it should come, but even now already is.
Yep.
Here's the thing. This stuff didn't just start and it didn't just start once Christ came. It didn't start for the Apostle Paul. But this spirit of Antichrist has been around since the devil fell.
Sure, brother.
You understand that? If you know your Bible, do you remember the story over there in Numbers 16? There was a few people called Korah, Abiram or Abiram, and Dathan. They rose up against God's man, Moses.
Yep.
They were against him. They were against the teachings of Moses and the truth that God had given to him. And you remember what happened to them? The Bible said that the Lord did a new thing.
Yeah,
he opened up the earth. And guess where they went? Right on down. It's a serious thing when you start doing contrary to God, what God wants, His will, His purpose. And so we've just got to guard ourselves. Be on the guard against it. I don't know how to stress that enough. Just understand it is here. We can say that it's not at Amazing Grace. We can say it'll never affect us if we want to. But it does. Every time we open those doors, we're opening it to this spirit.
Right. That's right.
I mean, that's just the truth. Every time those doors swing open and we let somebody come in, and that might be you and it might be me. But what I'm saying is it could be in form of many, many different forms.
Yeah,
every time the door is open. And so that's why we got to guard yep. against it.
Yep.
And so we got to do that as a team. It can't all be on the pastor to guard against it. He can't catch everything. He just can't. You see something, you notice something, We need to be praying about it. We need to be sharing that. Because we want to go. Now, I'm not saying be out looking for everybody's faults. That's not what I'm talking about. But just, you know, somebody that comes in that teaches false things and pushes false things and do those things. If you see that they're coming in going to try to hurt, we need to be aware of that, know that. He needs to know that.
Yep.
We've got to guard against it. So just, and don't invite it. I'll just say that. Let me say that. We don't invite that stuff.
Right.
You may think you're doing somebody a favor. Be real careful. I don't know why I'm even saying this.
You're good, bro.
But there are certain people, and that you have to discern that spirit. There are certain people I'd never invite here. I don't want them here.
No.
And you say, man, that's harsh.
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think that's biblical.
Yes, sir.
And if you're one of those that just goes out and just freely invites everybody and their brother, well, that's dangerous. I'm for every sinner coming.
Every one of them that's a sinner.
I mean, if they're drunk, alcoholic,
yeah.
dope,
yep.
I mean, whatever you want, whatever they are,
whatever sinner.
I'm for them coming.
Me too.
But you got to be careful when it comes to the religious crowd.
That's right.
And allowing them to come in, we just got to be careful.
Yep.
That's all I want to say.
Guarantee it.
Just be careful, okay? You don't have to invite everybody to come to Amazing Grace.
Right.
Am I okay right there?
Amen.
I didn't mean to. Man, I felt like everybody's like, are you really saying that?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be harsh. But we've got to guard against it. I want to protect the sanctity of the gospel of Christ. And when a sinner comes in here, I want them to hear and know that they're getting the truth.
That's right.
And not bring anything in that will harm that.
Right.
I'd rather have a sinner in here than a religious person that's against the true gospel any day.
Right.
Just be careful.
100%.
Be careful. All right, we're going to get on to something happy right here in just a minute. All
right?
Okay, well, I'm glad. I'm glad somebody is. Amen. All right. I didn't mean to go there. All right, verse number 4. It says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so we've seen the trying of the spirits, the true spirit. We've seen the trickery of Satan. But here in verse number 4, we see the triumph of the saints, which correlates to the triumph of the Savior.
Right.
We're only overcomers because he is. But I see, I'm going to break this down into three different things here. First off, this first phrase, he says, ye are of God, little children. And first off, you got to see the origin of the saints. Where do you come from? Where do you come from? Now, I'm not talking about your physical creation. I'm talking about what originates the new man. How do you know ye are of God, little children? How do you know that? Well, the Bible tells us, 1 John 5:1, he says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Jesus uses the phrase, John uses the phrase born of God 6 times in 1 John. And I'm losing my place here. 1 Peter 3:3-5 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He says in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a what?
New creature.
You understand, once somebody gets born again and they get saved, what happens is there's a new creation. There's something that happens. There's a new birth. There's a change.
Yes.
There's a new origin. You come from a different place.
Yes.
And so that's how you determine that you are of God. You got to be born again.
Right.
If you've never been born again, you're not of God.
Right.
Not of God. It's not this just general, we're all the sons of God. That's not how this thing works. We were all created by God. And He desires all of us. That's why He says, whosoever will. But there has to be that time, that place, that experience, that time when we reach out and call out to Christ. And John 15:19 says, "As if you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." You understand the difference. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. John 17:16, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." He's talking about his people. There's a difference in being of God and not of God. And the only way you can be of God is if you've been birthed into Him, born into His family. There has to be a new birth. If you have been born again, though, you are of God, little children.
Yep.
And that's why in Romans we can read and we say, because we have the Spirit of God on the inside, we've been born again, we can cry unto Him, Abba, Father.
Yeah.
We're born of Him. We are of Him. We're begotten of Him. But it has to be that you're born again. Thing is, if you're not of God, though, you're not just hanging out here in space. You're on one side of the fence or the other.
Yeah.
You're either of God or you're of the devil. That's the two options. If you've never been born again, you say, well, I'm not wicked, I'm not evil. Well, you're still of the devil.
Yeah.
You are on the inside.
Right.
Now, you might be able to calm that down a little bit. And you say, well, where do you get that? Well, I'll show you. John chapter 8. We'll start in John chapter 8. We've read this not too long ago here. Jesus said unto them, John chapter 8, verse 42. He says, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is the liar, is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not.
Right.
Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God.
Yeah, brother.
It's simple. It's that simple. You're either of God or you're of the devil. That's the two options. And you say, well, that's the only place you got. No. Look at Ephesians chapter 2.
That's right.
Look at Ephesians chapter 2.
God.
Yeah. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse number 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." Who do you reckon that is?
Right, brother.
"The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that is the devil. The spirit that is in the children of disobedience. So you're a child of disobedience. Among whom also, who had their conversations? We all. We all had our conversation in time past. In the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. You're not exempt.
Right.
And I'm not exempt. We're all there. We've all been there. And until you're born of God, you're still there. It says, but God.
Yeah, brother.
See, that's the important part. See, man, I was stuck in that place until you get to verse 4 and he says, but God. So you got to have that but God of experience in your life. There has to be a time when God steps in and intervenes and makes a change. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And that's us that used to be the children of wrath, children of disobedience, that walked according to this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. But now, but God. But God. See, there's a difference. There's a clear line where you step from here to there. If that line's real muddy in your life, then you need to get that straightened out. There has to be a time that you're born of God. So you can only claim to be of God if you've been saved. There's got to be that but God moment. And because of Christ, I can say I'm one of His. I'm of God. I'm one of those little children. And if you have that testimony, guess what you can say? I'm of God. I'm one of His little children. And that feels real good. That feels real good to just be able to say that He's my Father. Jesus is my elder brother.
Yep.
If you didn't know that, He's your elder brother.
Sure.
He died for you. Gave His life for you. And it's only by His grace. By grace are you saved. If you read, man, I probably ought not quit reading right there in verse 7. Verse 8 says, for by grace you're saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, I've already read it. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So the question is, are you of God or are you not? You have to have the right origin to be of God. He has to do a work, a new creation. But you're doing real good if you are. You might not feel good. You might have problems in this life. But if we would just recognize what we really are, children of God, heirs, joint heirs with Christ, we'd be doing real good, wouldn't we? So you see the importance of the origin here in verse number 4. He said, I'm in the wrong book. 1 John chapter 4. So he says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. So then we see the overcoming of the saints. You know, you notice he says this in past tense. When did you overcome? When did that happen? When you became of God. You see, what happens is when you get birthed into the family of God through the work that Christ did, everything that Christ has is given to you. And so that's placed on you. And so you become an overcomer because of what Christ did. Not because of anything you did, but it's past tense. It's already a done deal. So the born again can already have victory. We've already got victory over all the false prophets. There's no false prophet, Jesse, can take away what I've got. If you're saved, they can't take away what you've got. They can't get to it. It doesn't matter how much the spirit of Antichrist works, it antagonizes us, causes us harm. Guess what? It can't get to me. I'm hid with Christ in God.
Yep.
We're safe. We're safe. See, we've already overcome through Christ, because of Christ. So in the end, you can rest assured if you're saved, guess what? You'll come out on top. We're going to win.
Yeah, that's right.
We already have. We just don't see it yet. We're going to be on top of this thing when it's all over. Now, I'm not saying you'll have the preeminence, but I'm just saying we'll come out winners. We're on the winning side. So, you know, the devil may confuse us at times. He may get us sidetracked. But thank God he'll never derail us from where we're going. He can't. So in Christ, if you don't understand once you get in Christ, you are predestined to get to heaven. You're predestined in Christ. You're predestined to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. It's just going to happen. You're not going to change that. The time you got saved, you got sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Well, what's that promise? That we're going to be like Him one day. We're going to be with Him one day. Folks, it's a promise. It's a done deal. It's made. And in Christ, we have all of that. Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Let the heathen, whatever comes, they can be against us. But we've already won. Romans 8:37, nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said it this way. He said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ.
Sure.
And to die is gain. That sounds pretty victorious to me, don't you? Right. He says, if I live, it's Christ. If I die, it's even better. Right? It's gain. 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. That's always. And maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. And then one of those favorite verses probably of some of you, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'm not talking about kicking a football.
Right.
I'm not talking about hitting a home run. That's not what we're talking about. But no matter what Satan throws our way, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We can get through that. Yes, it may be more than we can bear on our own. But in Christ, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. No matter what comes, folks, we are not the losers here. Christ was victorious, and therefore so are we. And never forget this, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. You know how the accuser of the brethren accused the people of God there?
Yep.
And what was their answer? They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. You and I, that's how we overcome today.
Oh, yeah.
It's only by His blood. It's only because we have a testimony.
Right.
And the question is, do you have a testimony today? Do you have a testimony today? If not, we're in trouble. But today you can.
Sure.
You can today. Folks, I'm glad to be an overcomer, aren't you? I appreciate the good attention. I don't really know why we wasn't more excited about it. I guess I depressed everybody to start with. I don't know. But we'll have prayer for anybody that wants to pray down the hallway there. Appreciate your good attention.